We're on third reading, amendment number 4 to House Bill 1. Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move third reading amendment to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, this if you remember, the good gentleman from the Mother County over there brought an amendment that required the University of Wyoming to do some certain things and report back to the Appropriations Committee, and I'm asking that that same report be given to the Joint Education Committee, because they're the ones that really deal with the University of Wyoming. And that's what this is all about, and I stand for questions.
Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a good amendment, and I urge you to support this. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time on the amendment? First time? The second time prior to the sponsor, all those in favor of third reading amendment number 4 to House Bill 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 4 to House Bill 1 has been adopted. We are on third reading amendment number 11 to House Bill 1. Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move third reading amendment number 11 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. Mr. Speaker, during the conversations we had on Senate File 106 yesterday, we were talking about some of the constitutional problems with the interest that's earned on the recapture districts and different districts because it gives one district an advantage over another district. And over the years, by 1999, when I first came down here and we did the recalibration model before the one president one we're in, we decided that we would allow the districts to keep the interest that they earn, and as to help them with the model as it was at the time. That was not the very rich model such as we have now. And so we struck language in the statutes that said that those at that time in 1999, those interest rates were counted as a local resource and went towards the model. What this amendment does is brings that language back into the statute and says that the interest, capital gains, and any other earnings held by the funds by a district during the school year 2010-2011, excluding interest earnings on the separate major building and main facility repair and replacement account established under Wyoming Statute 2115-109, shall be deemed state revenues and shall be considered when determining the amount to be distributed to each district under Wyoming Statute 2113-311. Basically, what that says is that interest is earned from the savings accounts is then counted as a local resource, and the match then from the state is reduced by the amount of interest.
Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against this third reading amendment, and my first comments on this, ladies and gentlemen, I'm reminded by our good previous chairman of appropriations, and I was trying to figure out how we can all remember that good gentleman from Fremont County as he would lean into the mic and say, you know, this kind of sounds like a bill to me, and urge us strongly to resist taking a step such as this. Now, of course, the comments by the sponsor of the bill, I wrote as fast as I could. This is almost a quote, that what this amendment does, it brings back into the statute. And I have a copy. We all got this handout the other day, Statute 2113-310, clearly referenced in this budget amendment. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the things you first learn in Appropriations Committee, we are not supposed to alter or change substantive law in budget amendments. This, in my mind, takes a very bold leap, and on those grounds alone, we should not allow this. And I think we should take a firm stand. And I know a lot of people are going to line up to the mic and discuss the merits or demerits of voting on this. And I would say your vote should be no, mainly on policy, that we need to live up to expectations from our voters that sent us here, that and not take these bold leaps. And second, by bringing a third reading amendment like this, it basically restricts and inhibits meaningful discussion on just what this does or what this amendment doesn't do. We are very limited in our ability to divide this amendment, to analyze spreadsheets. Are we talking about all of the interest that's held in all of our school districts? Is it only above the 15% that we really want them to save to cash flow? I mean, are we really going to only address the recapture districts? I would maintain the way this is written, it affects every school district. And it may provide a disincentive to save that 15%. Clearly, I don't know enough to really make a good decision. And I would say my no vote on this amendment is on firm, sound grounds to vote this down on those principles that we do not change or alter substantive law through a budget footnote.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Rising on and in support of the amendment, I think based on our conversation yesterday, it was quite clear that the body did not want to go the direction that the Select Committee spent over 100 hours working on, in my opinion. That ship has sailed, but this will take care of our constitutional issue, in my opinion. It will allow everyone to stand on level ground, and that is our job as an institution, is to make sure that District A stands on level ground with District B. And if you think I am going to enjoy chairing this Education Committee and going through another round of lawsuits, I you've got another thing coming. I do not relish the thought of having to do that. I think this is very clear that this simple little amendment will fix our constitutional problem. It leaves the money in the banks, and it levels the playing field. And I would ask for your support.
Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, not to be repetitious, but on in support of the amendment. And yesterday I tried to outline this debate on really three issues: was cash flow, the cost to the program in two ways, the interest, the $12 million we talked about, and also the opportunity costs of short-term versus long-term investments, which might very well equal the interest costs. So cash flow costs and the constitutional issue. The opponents of that bill, you know, and made a powerful argument, a winning argument, that you know, it was bad for our local school districts. Well, or excuse me, bad for our local communities to take that liquidity out of our local banks. And I respect that argument, and so we lost that argument. But I think the key is, as the good chairman of education said, is the constitutional issue. And to really count these as part of the local resource. Let's call it what it is. And as far as the issue of legislating in the budget bill, this Section 205 is in the budget bill, and we appropriate schools on a annual basis, not a biennial basis. And this would certainly affect that and is appropriate, in my opinion. So on and for the amendment.
Representative Kraft.
Thank you so much, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, for many of the same reasons that my good colleague from House District 47 stated. I don't know what this amendment's going to do or not going to do. I'm not sure if it's going to level the playing field or not. I'm not sure if it's talking about rebate, recapture, or entitlement districts. I don't have enough information. And just like I said yesterday, the the piece of legislation that we defeated yesterday hadn't got out there to education community. It had been well discussed in committee, but not the education community in Wyoming. This hasn't either. And to see this on the third reading of a budget bill frightens me a bit, because I'm not quite sure what this is going to do or what it's not. I would suggest to you that the recalibration select committee did indeed spend probably well over 100 hours, but not on this particular piece of legislation, not on this. And so I would strongly urge great caution with this amendment, and I would urge the defeat of this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Madden, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I also would ask you to take a real close look at this and what it does. The first thing that should come to your mind is that it has an unintended consequence, and not only that, it's an obvious consequence that's going to occur, because the simple question is, if you do this to all the districts, what's the incentive for all the districts to invest? In other words, we've taken the culture of money management out of the equation, right? Yeah, and if you don't see that, I mean, what if you had as part of your income tax return to the federal government, interest returns because of holding stock or holding bonds, and the Congress, I hope they don't hear me saying this, but what if they would decide to tax interest earnings at 100%? I mean, what would be the interest earnings the next year? I mean, that obviously you would not. You would do everything you could to avoid earning interest. Now, this amendment here would be sound if they had written it so that it specifically referred to the recapture earnings. And I come from a recapture district, and I think the argument is legitimate and can be made that recapture money truly belongs to the state. And if the state isn't getting it back in a timely manner, that's their fault or their negligence. And if there's any earnings accruing from that recapture portion of their savings, then that should accrue to the state. But if you had an undivided asset mix, it'd be easy to audit that to find out what portion of their earnings were generated because of recapture earnings. And even though I come from a recapture district, I'd have to vote for that. I don't think we're entitled to that portion of the interest. Moreover, if it was built that way, everybody would be on the same playing field then, wouldn't they? Everybody would have their right and their chance to go invest the best way they can with the funds that they have, because they're going to get a return on it. I guess in summary, I'm just saying this is not going to do what you think it's going to do. You know, they probably did some pro formas on this, and they figured, well, all this interest dollars is going to come back to us, and they add up all the interest that was earned in these school districts, and that comes up to a total number. But that requires a leap of faith that they would do the same due diligence in their investment strategies as they do now. This clearly, to me, is substantive in nature. It's deserving of appropriate interim work. And I just think you need to realize that this is not the way to fix a specific problem when you can see what the ultimate result's going to be, and it's not going to be the kind of result you want. So please take a look at this, and if you analyze it carefully, I think you'll agree that's not the way to go. Thank you.
Representative Blickery.
Mr. Speaker, this is really straight up, and I commend the people who wrote it, because it doesn't take 2 seconds to figure out what it says. And what it says is that if we vote for this, we're going to remove interest income from every school district in Wyoming. And that may or may not be good. But the question you should ask yourself is, do I want to go home and tell the people in the school districts that I represent that I voted to take their money on about 15 minutes of conversation? So I urge you to vote no on this budget amendment, and I agree that it should be an interim study, one that gives all parties a chance to have their views heard. Thank you.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. When this idea came up yesterday and I heard about it, I thought it was just going to take the money from the recapture districts and everybody else was left, because we end up an entitlement district, you're going to end up getting money back. So I was just wondering, is there any way to, I guess there isn't any way, we just got to vote on this, but I thought it was just going to be the recapture and not the entitlement folks that had to give up their interest.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in favor of the proposed amendment, I, like the good legislator from Sweetwater County, had some fear after yesterday in that we identified an issue that could be a constitutional challenge and maybe put us back in court. And then we also heard in that very lengthy discussion that one of the issues that was going to do that is this imbalance that we get with monies that are in the local areas that are really could differentiate and have the different school districts treated differently. And so I think we heard that there was a solution, and that's to take the earnings for those and put it back into the state funds. And at least my reading of this, this particular amendment proposes that. And I think I was here when we went through the bloody end of the lawsuits and the time and energy and money that it's taken this state through, that I think we need to react to the potential lawsuits on constitutionality that we would be exposed to, and I urge your support of this amendment because I think it's a step in protection from that.
Representative Bonner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Following up on the remarks of the good representative from District 40, who suggested that perhaps the disincentive in this might be lost on some. Well, it certainly isn't lost on the folks back home who are saying, and now you want to penalize us for wise money management, on and against the amendment.
Representative Throne, first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. While I understand the constitutional issue and realize that we should always work hard to avoid the school finance nightmares that all of us have lived through, I don't think we need to rush to avoid a suit on this issue when I don't believe anyone's actually, I know no one's filed anything and no one's, to my knowledge, has threatened anything. I think we've got some time to get the right fix to this problem rather than rushing through, and I realize the committee spent a lot of time on it, but those of us here feel like we're being rushed through this issue, and I don't see the need to rush with a fix that may cause more problems than it solves.
Representative Edmonds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Rising on and in favor of the amendment, and I was one of the yesterday who voted no, listening to the debate, and was very compelled by the argument that the way the state was coming in, and particularly because those monies were leaving our local communities, very much not in support of that. But this I am in support of, because we aren't taking the money away from the districts. We're simply saying that public funds, transparent public funds, have to be counted transparently as part of your local funds, as your education dollars. They have to be called. And why wouldn't they? I'm not quite for sure. I mean, I stumble over the thought that right now the practice in Wyoming is that interest money that you earn is not accounted for in a transparent and public way, that the districts use it. I'm not for sure how, but they don't have to count it as a local resource. I don't think that's really a very good statement. Now, granted, I'm sure that the money's being used, I hope, on in the classroom, on the kids, where at the very level we want it to be used. I can't say that for certain. It's not a transparent way to do business. It's not an appropriate way to do business. They should have to count those earnings openly and publicly for everyone to see, including the parents and the teachers and everyone involved in the public education system. I don't think this is going to disincentivize saving. First of all, we asked them to do some savings. Any good money manager is going to put a certain amount of savings aside. I don't think now that we say you have to declare this, they're just going to go, oh, you're right. Well, we're not going to save at all. They're still going to make money, and they want that because they've used those dollars. So I don't think it's going to suddenly stop the practice. I just think this is an appropriate and transparent way to do business. Thank you.
For your first time, anyone for your first time? Second time, Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To build on, I guess, the basis of my argument, Section 205, ladies and gentlemen, will go away, that language will go away, when this budget goes away. Now, there's been talk, what we're doing, we're addressing a certain part of our statutes with this. Now, what we're doing here will be somewhat transient in nature, this temporary fix in our statutes, which clearly we cannot do. And this is how we're somewhat going around what I call good, sound, solid principles of policy for what we're supposed to do here in budget amendments. Of course, it does not change the statutes, but danger, danger. Bear in mind, in order for this to become permanent, this will have to be followed up with a bill. So in essence, this is the bill until someone can bring a bill. Clearly, in my mind, this is not what we're supposed to be doing in a budget footnote. Again, standing up and against this budget amendment on sound policy principles.
Anyone else for their second time? Second time? Representative Vranish.
Okay. Under Section 26 of the Constitution, I'd like a ruling on this. Is actually legislation. We're not appropriating funds. We're actually changing the law. Could I have a ruling on that, please?
I will ask the Rules Committee to come up on the point of order, and we'll discuss that. All right. A point of order was raised referencing Article 3, Section 26 of the Constitution, and the Rules Committee met and discussion was had. The motion was made stating that that provision of the Wyoming Constitution did not apply to Third Reading Amendment 11 to House Bill 1. That motion was seconded and sustained. We are on our second time to speak on the amendment. Representative Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted one thing to point out, one thing that has not been said yet, and that is the fact that this goes back to, I think it's the late 1990s when this policy or this practice was in effect. But it was changed, and it was changed more or less for the same exact reasons that I pointed out, that there is no incentive for money management, and nobody had anything to gain by it, and there is a reason. It's not important for us to reinvent the wheel on this.
No, she's not up. I don't think she spoke the first time. Representative McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, Mr. Speaker, we've had a great discussion. I'd like to remind the body of a little history here. I believe it was like 4 years ago, 5 years ago, we had an Amendment B to the Constitution. In 1999, our Constitution stated and allowed certain recapture districts to keep this money, get this money back. And other districts were able to keep money that's not shown, as we had, if you heard the conversation yesterday, on their... And they don't have to do anything with it. But the limitation was they can only use it, and it's excluded in this amendment. They can only use this money for, I'll read it to you in the amendment, major building and facility repair and replacement accounts. This interest, the money from this from these savings is excluded from this amendment. But ladies and gentlemen, 4 or 5 years ago, I can't remember exactly when, we had a vote and the people of Wyoming overwhelmingly supported Amendment B to the Constitution that said all revenues to districts will come back and be distributed equally so that all the children in the state of Wyoming are able to get an equal right to an education. And that's what this is about, and that's what I brought this amendment. You've got an email. Every one of you got an email. I hope you read my answer back to the district about this issue. He said, well, this is just another way to get back at us for 106. 106 and this are completely different. During the discussion on Senate File 106, it was stated that a simpler way to meet the constitutional challenge of the disparity between the rebate recapture districts and other districts was to count the interest earned as a local resource. Councils agreed this would be in any chance of a constitutional challenge to deal with the constitutional disparity created by local wealth and constitutional amendments. Senate File 106 counts the interest earned as a local resource. It did not bring this back. Well, what this does is takes us away back to the constitutional amendment that was passed 4 or 5 years ago and says all of these resources are counted. Now, I'll tell you, I went and I asked for a check on what this is like, and there are some very small school districts that earn as much interest as some very large school districts. It's amazing. But the fact of the matter is, very small school districts get a lot more money than a large school district. Disparity. I'm not talking just about the recapture districts here. The recapture districts are another issue, and that would be handled in this amendment too. At one time, a few years ago, it was over $19 million they were earning. With the downturn in the economy, it's about 2.5. But that counts as a local resource. That levels. By counting that as a local resource, that levels the playing field for all of the districts. And as far as disincentives to invest the money in and make good interest, I don't know. This money that we're talking about, I can't imagine a district could do that. I can imagine that every single one of you has probably received from your local school district an email saying, this is a terrible thing. Don't allow it to go through. Because they get to keep this money and do with it what we don't know what. And the funding model, that's what it's all about. It's about education. It's about making sure that the kids get exactly what it is that they need to do it with education. And it's a rich funding model. So, ladies and gentlemen, I ask for your support for this amendment. I do not think that is unfair to school districts.
For your second time, Representative Blickery.
Mr. Speaker.
Stand by. I'm sorry, he was the sponsor of the amendment. Were you wanting to speak a second time?
I was, and I'm okay with that.
All right. I apologize, but he was the sponsor of the amendment. All those in favor of third reading amendment number 11 to House Bill 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 11 to House Bill 1 has failed. Representative Kraft.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. After that exciting debate, could I have privilege of the floor?
Please proceed.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, for a little bit of a break in our hot debate action, today I would like to read you a resolution that we all signed yesterday about the downtown revitalization volunteers. And we have a number of them, the Main Street managers, who are with us today. So I would like to take just a moment of your time and read this resolution and then introduce you to all of our wonderful local Main Street managers that came here to watch us in action. This resolution that we all signed recognizes downtown revitalization volunteers, that these programs have made a difference in the lives of Wyoming residents by providing communities the opportunity to renew their commercial business districts through economic development and historic preservation. And whereas communities can revitalize downtown and neighborhood business districts by leveraging local assets, ranging from historic, cultural, and architectural resources, and by invoking community pride and volunteerism. And whereas downtown revitalization programs owe much of their success to the hard work of Wyoming residents who volunteer their time to ensure their communities thrive. And whereas every successful community program has a dedicated and passionate cheerleader who works with members of the community to develop unique promotional programs to get both local residents and visitors to downtown areas. And whereas community participants have created annual events to help raise money and awareness for downtown revitalization programs, including Day of the Cowboy, farmers markets, chocolate festivals, wine festivals, street dances, to celebrate the character of our local communities. And whereas many local programs have purchased and renovated downtown buildings or have brokered deals to rehabilitate and renovate these buildings in an effort to preserve downtown character and ensure that these areas are the heart of our communities. Therefore, be it resolved by the legislature of the state of Wyoming that the members of the Wyoming State Legislature hereby commend the efforts of those involved in the downtown revitalization programs for their dedication to historic downtown districts to strengthen local pride and ensure that Wyoming continues to be a wonderful place to live where families can grow and prosper. The health of downtown is at the very heart of the quality of life within a community. A prosperous, attractive downtown business district becomes a visible barometer for the well-being of the entire community and the volunteers who have supported downtown revitalization in their communities to ensure the vibrancy of downtown areas. This resolution is presented to the Downtown Revitalization Program Managers as an expression of the Wyoming Legislature's gratitude to the residents of these participating communities who have volunteered to improve their downtown areas. And they're here with us. If you'd hold your applause until the end, I'd like you to meet the Main Street Program Managers. First, from Buffalo, Marie Verger and Vanessa Vogel. Douglas, Cindy Porter. Dubois, June Bonacera. Evanston, Jane Law. Glen Rock, Kathy Patchick. Green River, John Dahlgren. Kemmer, Mike Archibald. Laramie, Trey Sherwood. Pinedale, Kate Grimes. Platt County, Bruce Heimbuch. Rollins, Pam Thayer. Rock Springs, Lisa Mueller. Sheridan, Stacy Cox and Bonnie Gregory, Torrington, Roger Huckfeldt, and the Wyoming Main Street staff, the director, Mary Randolph, and the program specialist, Scott Wisniewski. Please welcome them.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you will note that you have on your desks a third reading amendment number 20 to House Bill 1 that is being brought to you before we move on to the next section. And pursuant to our rules, specifically 14-1B1, the good appropriations chair has the privilege and the ability to bring an amendment beyond the deadline prior to the day of reading. So, Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 20 to House Bill 1. And ladies and gentlemen, this is just follow-up on the conversation we just had. And it addresses only the statute 2113-102, Section B. Just to remind you, that has to do specifically with recapture district, and that subtitle is maximum rate of school district tax, recapture of excess, equalization of permissive levels. And in that Section B, I'm just going to read it to you, and then we'll have some other people be speaking on this amendment, but it says, except as otherwise provided by law, on January 15th, March 15th, and May 15th of each year, in equal payments of 25% and the balance to be paid on June 15th, each school district shall rebate to the Department of Education the amount by which the revenue from the sources provided in the statutes 2113-310 exceeds the foundation's program cost determined under 2113-309 as estimated to the districts on or before August 15th, and is subsequently certified to be credited to the school public school foundation program account, 2113-101. So this amendment cleans up our previous amendment and just deals with recapture district. Thank you. And I ask for your favorable support.
For your first time, Representative Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to compliment the good chairman for bringing this. This is what I was talking about. You know, to me, it addresses two important things, philosophically to me at least: recapture money that a school district is temporarily holding in their custody for the benefit of the rest of the state, for the state budget, is not really their money. I mean, it's kind of like when does life begin? You know, to me, what, I don't want to go there, but I mean, here we're asking, when does recapture money technically belong to the state? You know, and I'd argue that as soon as it hits the county treasurer, technically it's their money, the state's money, I should say. So it takes care of that problem. I, like I said up here before, you know, I come from a recapture school district, and I'm not afraid to go home. I'm not going to go home this weekend, but I wasn't planning on going home anyway. But I would not be afraid to defend how I'm going to vote on this, because to me, right is right and wrong is wrong. The other thing it does is it gets us off of the argument that where everybody's on a different playing field. You know, the recapture people are on a different playing field and everybody's got different rules. This says the playing field is even for everybody. So I really urge you to vote for this. Thank you.
For your first time, Representative Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I do appreciate the amendment. I think it really does narrow the focus. I just want everyone to understand what this is going to do for your districts. All of the money that your districts are currently holding in reserves, all of the money that is currently held in their general fund, and all the money that they are entitled to, including those recapture districts, you will be entitled and able to keep all of the interest that you can earn on that money. What this amendment does is it narrowly focuses on only those amounts of money that are going to be received above the entitlement, and that's what we call the recapture dollars. And those recapture dollars are a very narrow window of money that needs to be sent back to the state, and it is sent back to the state. The districts are not currently allowed to keep that money. All we're saying is that any interest earned between the period of time when you receive those money and before you have to send them back to the state, the interest on that small portion of money during that small portion of time will be counted as a local resource. And that's fair. So I urge your support.
Representative Blickery.
Well, Mr. Speaker and fellow representatives, I'm kind of reminded of just a short time ago this morning when we were talking about hunter education. And so I guess I stand here as an example of a target. And I guess, you know, just admit everybody that this is an amendment, and it's actually a bill being done as a budget amendment targeting five school districts out of this entire state. Thank you.
Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, we are being led to believe that this is better. Or maybe it's worse. How do we know? And I'm going to say this is worse. And I'm going to still stand on principles here. This is not how we do business in Wyoming. And, you know, we all like to brag about how we do things right in Wyoming. And we've had our congressional delegation come in here and talk about how they were trained in how to bring good legislation.
I'm going to call a point of order on that. Stick to the subject matter and logical debate. Don't make this into this is bad or this is good or anything. We're doing it wrong here in Wyoming. Let's keep this civil.
Thank you for that, Mr. Speaker. Where I was headed, Mr. Speaker, is that with the passage of this amendment, we'll have a bill with more than one subject. House Bill 1 will be a bill with more than one subject. As I've said, standing on good, sound policy, I resist this amendment. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have to admire the persistence on this issue. My concern is that I've only had about 10 minutes to have this amendment in my hand, look at the language of the statutes, and try and track them through. Now, while I may agree with the philosophy here that we should treat all districts equal, I don't know what this language does. I try to compare the statutes. I try to track them through. And honestly, without more than 10 minutes of preparation time or understanding, I don't think that I can vote for a budget amendment that I haven't had the opportunity to study and look through. And it might very well be fine, but I don't know. And since I don't know, I'm going to vote no.